Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. This is hour number three, brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. Great day out here in St. Joe. Practice just wrapped up about 30, 40 minutes ago. Most of the players have shuffled off the field, but there's still a handful signing autographs out here. I got to say, you know what? Well done by Kevon Walker. He is out here signing for everybody. He's not the star player or anything like that, but you never know. Anybody who gets his autograph is going to be happy about it. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show back at the studio, and our full 810 team is out here. Let's see, who's all out here? We got Seren Petro is out here. Stephen St. John is out here. Jason Anderson is out here. Joshua Briscoe is out here. Allie Trost, Darren Smith. I mean, did I miss anybody? I mean, that's a full squad right there.
Squad up in St. Joe.
By the way, Jason Anderson, I mentioned him being out here. His brand-new show debuts tomorrow on Monday at 10 a.m. It's going to be called The Zone, as he has moved back to Kansas City to take over that show. I know he's very excited about that and some of the things they're going to do with that show. So good for Jason to be up here and taking it all in the day before his very first show. Good stuff. I talked with Jason a couple of times over the last week, and the challenges of trying to sell a house, buy a house, move a family, get a new job, and prepare for your show, and it's all happening really fast. But be sure and check out Jason tomorrow at 10 a.m. and make him feel welcome back to Kansas City. So we just had all the press conferences out here in St. Joe. We heard from Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. We heard from wide receiver Tyreek Hill, and we heard from defensive lineman Chris Jones. And the Chiefs have, I think they've gone after this pretty in a concerted effort to get some of the news outside of football out of the way early. So Chris Jones doesn't have to talk about his contract anymore. I mean, what else is he going to say between now and the time either he signs it or they start the season and he hasn't signed it? Tyreek Hill talked to the media about all the offseason things that he was going through and his family as well. And Clark Hunt talked yesterday about all of this as well. So most of that stuff getting done early in camp, and then the focus will be on football from here on out. And that's I don't think that's by accident, Chris.
No, I think they, of course, there was strategic plays by the Chiefs, at least from media, to let you know, Chris Jones be available right now on a Sunday morning. Get it out of the way, as well as Tyreek Hill. I mean, that was a huge thing. When were the Chiefs going to allow Tyreek Hill to talk to the media? Because we saw what happened with Kareem Hunt, how it was a long process to finally be able to get his to talk to him at training camp and, you know, see his side of the story after the whole thing that happened in the summer and in Ohio for him after his incident. I think they wanted to get with Tyreek and let him talk to the media and get that out of the way, so now people can focus on football.
Yeah, because now they can say for the rest of training camp, we already talked about it. That's fine. That's a smart strategy in terms of media relations and public relations. I want to go back to Eric Bieniemy. He was the first one who talked today, and I like hearing Eric Bieniemy talk because I think he gives you a little bit more than most coaches in the National Football League. His coaches are secretive by nature. I mean, you hear Andy Reid talk. Is Andy Reid, has he ever said anything that made you say, "Oh my God"?
No.
No, never. He gives you, well, looking forward to the challenge of playing the Raiders this week, and that's
about
it.
Today.
Yeah, look good today, and that's how we roll, and that's fine. I mean, that's what a head coach does. They do their job, and then they deflect, and that's great. But I think Eric Bieniemy gives you a little bit more. He gives you what we in the media call nuggets, things that are actually interesting, things to pay attention to. And it's just, your interviews with the media don't get you a head coaching job in the National Football League. but you can hurt yourself by being a jackass. And Eric Bieniemy does really good media press conferences, and it's just really smart stuff, informative stuff, and gives you just a little peek behind the curtain. Not a lot. He's not going to tell you, well, on 3rd and 7, we're running toss power sweep jet left 47 red. He's not going to tell you that, but he gives you a little peek behind the curtain into how he likes to operate an offense.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time before Bieniemy does get a chance to be a coach in this league. I mean, we've seen with the lineage that Andy Reid has in terms of offensive coaches, whether it be with Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, Ron Rivera with the Carolina Panthers. It's just a matter of time before another coach, leaves the Chiefs and is probably going to be successful at his next stop.
Alec Trost has joined us now, who's been up here at St. Joe. If I could say that one more time. Been up here at St. Joe all weekend. You were over at the media conferences over there with the coaches. What was your impression of Eric Bieniemy? Because I always say he gives you just a little peek behind the curtain. Not a lot, but a little.
Yeah, no, he that was definitely the way he entered this presser as well after this Sunday here at training camp. But, I just think overall, any question and any light that he could shed, he's very excited about, the improvements that Mahomes has been making. He's excited about the receiver core that they have. And I think just overall, this offense is just going to build on what was already an incredible year. And he feels like it's very promising. And then he also mentioned a little bit about the defense and, kind of made a funny comment at the end about, it's good to see the defense doing well, but they still want to beat the defense. So,
absolutely.
But yeah, no, I mean, Bieniemy is an incredible offensive coordinator. He just does a great job and really, there's a lot to be excited about with this team. And like you said, little peek behind the curtain, but nothing
not too much. And it's only a matter of time till either he's a head coach in another organization or he stays here until Andy Reid retires and he's the head coach of the Chiefs, which is, we're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, and that's his ideal situation, is he's here long enough to take over for Andy, but teams will come calling.
Oh,
and so if they have not already, they will be. And I kind of thought, I was a little bit, I mentioned this with Nick, I was disappointed in the Arizona Cardinals. They hired Cliff Kingsbury. I have nothing against Cliff Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. But you talk about a guy who had just gotten fired from Texas Tech, college job, was the offensive coordinator for about a week at USC, and all of a sudden he's a head coach in the National Football League. And I'm like, come on. Are we not looking around and doing our homework here? And believe me, the Cardinals are not a well-run organization. It would not have been a good situation for Eric Bieniemy.
No.
They have a bad general manager who fired a coach after one season. Their owner is, I've met him a couple of times. Mm-hmm. He comes off as kind of Looney Tunes, kind of a cartoonish type character.
Yeah.
So it's probably not a good fit for him, but still, I mean, that was strange to me.
Well, and then just look at the whole situation with their former quarterback, Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
And, they break up with the coach, but then they break up with the quarterback as well. And that just, I think, goes to show, in hiring Cliff Kingsbury, it was the plan all along to bring on Kyler Murray. Like, that just reaffirmed what everyone already was speculating and knew, even though they were trying to, throw some of those rumors off going into the draft. But everyone knew what was happening. And, and you know what? I hope, for Josh Rosen, I hope he's better off from that. For him, I think it'll be more beneficial for his career to get out of that situation.
Yes.
But, if Cliff and if Kyler can kind of come together and block out the noise of, other mishaps that happen within the organization and then just stay focused, they might be able to be successful. But in terms of what that situation would have been like for Bieniemy,
probably not the best
situation. And for him, maybe waiting around for the Chiefs opportunity. Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere.
Right.
Like, would there be a better situation?
He's got a long way to go.
So would there be a better situation, for him than to stick around here? This isn't a bad setup. This is the best offense you could be working with. And then, to get that extended familiarity with Mahomes and with the offense, and then being able to transition into that head coaching role whenever that may be.
Yes. I think Eric Bieniemy is much better off having probably never gotten a phone call from Arizona, because he might have had to say no. I'm not going to that show over there. Okay, we also heard from Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And this is something I believe the Chiefs did early in camp with a purpose to mm-hmm. get everything out of the way.
Yep.
Talk about what happened in the offseason, being cleared by the National Football League, talking about the tape being released in public. And where I was sitting over here, I could only hear part of what he said. Mm-hmm. Did he address the tape directly?
He did.
Okay, what did he say? Because I think
he did.
We had to turn it down so we could go back on the air.
So Tyreek said that the first time he heard the full 11-minute tape was when everybody else heard the full.
Okay.
Like when the tape came out is when Tyreek knew of its existence.
Okay.
I thought one thing that was really interesting, I forgot who asked the question about, you know, because obviously one of the big things aside from the language that he used towards Crystal and calling her what he called her, and he acknowledged that too, and he apologized, saying that that isn't something that, you know, having, you know, his mother, sister, his now daughter, who was born recently this last month, he wouldn't want anyone calling them the names that he called Crystal in that tape. And so he apologized for that. But I thought another thing that was interesting, talking about, you know, another big aspect of this was when Crystal was accusing him of punching their son in the chest. And what he said.
And did Seren Petro ask about this?
He did.
Okay.
He did. The context that Tyreek added, and again, this is just what was coming out of the presser just now, was that, you know, his son loves Iron Man, loves playing, you know, all of those games of superheroes. And that's what Tyreek said the context was to those, you know, those in-home situations were
right.
games that they were playing. So I thought those were the two big things that he addressed from the tape.
And this is why I think it was important to get the whole 11 minutes out.
Absolutely.
To give it context. Because when you listen to the first one that was, what, 2.5 minutes?
Yeah.
It's bad. There's none of it that's good. Let's be honest
right,
about it.
Right.
None of it was good. You heard the whole 11 minutes. You got a little more context. And so then you hear his, I think, ex-fiancée now, mm-hmm. Crystal Espinal, say, you know, you punch him in the chest. And he comes out and explains it as we were mimicking
boxing
our video. Okay, there's only the people in that house who know what
exactly.
happened. I don't know what happened.
You
don't know what happened.
No.
You can interpret it how you wish. And I tell everybody that. I'm not going to tell you what to think about it. I'm just saying this is what Tyreek mm-hmm. said today.
And especially, you know, in a situation like this, in a story with really so many layers and stories within stories, you know, context is everything in helping people, most importantly, form their own opinions and what to think about it. But also, you know, in terms of the NFL coming to the ruling that they did, Tyreek wasn't willing to disclose really any information from that 8-hour meeting that he had with the NFL and the investigation that they conducted that day in that interview, and really details were something he did not want to get into.
Hang on one second. You want to keep talking for a second? I got to answer a question. Oh, they were asking if we needed a cart.
They're so kind.
Yes, we were.
Chiefs have been treating us well.
We have a lot of equipment down here, but we've got 45 minutes to go. Although he'd be waiting here a long time.
So, hey, you know what, Brad? We had no problem carrying it yesterday. We were just getting our workouts in.
Yep.
Much like the guys out on the field, we are also, this is our training camp as well.
Yep. To finish up on Tyreek Hill, he addressed everything that was asked of him today. Also had the on-field things and what he's looking forward to, because he couldn't be part
right.
of the OTAs. He couldn't be part of the mandatory minicamp. So this is kind of getting his feet back on. I'm sure he worked out.
Yep.
I think he talked about that. Mm-hmm. He took kind of a break from social media, but I think when he got back on, he would talk about working out. So this is kind of his first chance to get back in a groove a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, really, the thing that's stood out to me the most these last couple of days is that in terms of his connection with Mahomes, they're not missing a beat. And you can tell. And
no, they have
yeah,
not.
They are. If anything, it's stronger. And that's something that Bienemy said as well, is like, you know, this team, the connection is stronger than ever. Like, this is going to be a building season from what was already, like I said, a great 2018 in terms of offensive production. And now it's just the more that these players get to know each other and the greater connection that they can make on and off the field is only going to translate on the field in ways that we're going to see things this season.
Yes.
I'm just, I don't even know if we can, put words to what will happen in 2019, but yeah, no, I mean, Tyreek was very, you know, appreciative. That was the biggest takeaway, and asking him what the biggest lesson for him in all of this was. And that's just to, you know, appreciate everything that you have. And he, you know, refused to even call his teammates. He said they're family. Coach Reed, Patrick, the receivers, his teammates, all of them, you know, he was appreciative of the way that they stood by him, worked out with him, and, you know, all of that time together, even though he couldn't be present for Chiefs-related activities, the time that they spent away from the Chiefs-related activities but still together and still in a football setting and still working out has obviously helped him stay, you know, up to beat.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show. Ali Trost has been out here covering press conferences and the team all weekend, along with who did we have out? We had Josh Briscoe today. We had Darren Smith out here today. Saran Petro was here today. Stephen St. John.
Stephen St. John can't stay away from St. Joe.
Jason Anderson was here today. He's got his new show tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Yes.
But Stephen was here all week last week. He was here Saturday until the afternoon so we could exchange the radio gear.
Mm-hmm.
He drives back. He does boxing ring announcing in Independence, Missouri. And he's back up here this morning.
He loves it. He loves it. He's literally here for fun.
Yeah.
He's here. He's hanging out. And you know what? If anything, it just helps him get some more intel, get some more some views of what's going on this weekend with the team at camp. So he can bring that into the equation next week.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what we saw today at camp.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 2 days in.
Yes.
That's it. So let's not over-exaggerate anything. Damn, Patrick Mahomes looks good. I mean, for crying out loud, some of the routes he was hitting today, the one with Travis Kelce where they conned the whole defense on that side of the field, and then he threw the no-look pass that Sammy Watkins wasn't ready for at the time. And yesterday we saw the behind-the-back passes, more left. I mean, and his accuracy has been off the charts.
And that was my biggest takeaway, you know, from this weekend is that Patrick Mahomes' accuracy is it's unbelievable. And, you know, it's funny. It's no secret that Mahomes practices those insane throws at, you know, in training. And that's been something that he's been doing since last year as well.
Right.
What new throw are we going to see this year? We saw no look. We saw left-handed.
I think we see the behind the back.
I think so, too.
I think. Hey, Chris, I'm going to check real quick. Are we still on the air?
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Okay. Sorry. My screen lit up here with our equipment. So
no, you sound fine.
But I think Andy Reid maybe saw that behind the back pass and thinking, maybe a reverse kind of thing. Maybe some kind of short screen.
When that
a rollout and a reverse, a jet sweep with a behind the back.
There's so many variations to it. And when that happens in 2019, people's TVs are literally going to explode. I don't care what anyone says.
Your head's going to explode.
but no, you know, going off, I know you just mentioned that one play with Kelce. Travis Kelce looks, for missing as much time as he did with minicamp and OTAs with that injury, he looks unbelievable. The rehab team did a great job in making sure that his, you know, physically he was up, you know, to par with the rest of the receiving corps, because you wouldn't know if you were watching training camp that he had even suffered from an injury.
Did you hear him describe his injury?
I did.
This week? I was cringing when he described it, how his ankle was loose.
Like,
And that would cause him to roll his ankle, and then he talked about his tendons had to be tightened up, and I was like, oh my God, that yuck!
I know,
and I'm squeamish about injuries.
No, I am the same way, and so like when he's describing that, the visual in my mind is not something that like I want to wipe it from my memory forever somehow. But no, you know, great for him that he was able to get that surgery, get his ankle in a.
I think he said tightened up.
Like I picture them literally just screws, like like screwing it back together. But no, I mean, that's going to be great, because I think if there's one thing that we've seen from Travis Kelce over the last couple of seasons, and last season in particular, and something that he talked about quite a bit last season, was how he's grown in terms of his mental engagement and how he's really, you know, been dedicated, especially in 2018, to be a leader on the team. He admitted when the whole Alex Smith trade went down and he realized that, you know, Patrick Mahomes would be coming in as QB1, Kelce and Alex Smith had a great rapport out on the field, and so he admitted he wasn't really that excited. He was like, oh, let's see what this kid's got.
Right.
And, you know, now they've obviously become the best of friends off the field and have, you know, an unbelievable connection on the field. But I think, you know, with 2018 under their belt, Kelce now feeling healthier than ever, has the injury figured out so that and he even admitted when they were down on, you know, on the beach.
Since we're on the radio, you don't have to like grab your.
I know.
But we do. I do it too. I do the same thing.
I'm a very visual person.
Yes.
Which, you know, does not lend well to radio, but trying to explain it better in my mind. But he was even saying when they were on the beach in Cabo, I believe is where they were, and they were running routes because why wouldn't they be?
Yeah.
He said that before the surgery, he would have probably rolled his ankle in that situation.
Sure.
But because the surgery was so successful and his rehab has gone so well, he was able to run barefoot in the sand running routes with Mahomes and the other receivers and be
right
totally fine.
I got to admit, the video of them playing football on the beach made me a little nervous because I've seen
anything that's, you know, Mahomes and this offense or anyone on the team really doing anything
right
not on a field
right.
makes me nervous.
Right. There was
even riding the horse in the ocean. I was like, oh, God.
I got just that. That game, to me, that was a little like a Johnny Cueto-esque. Johnny Cueto's into horses and all that. So that was, to me, that was Johnny Cueto territory. It's good stuff. When I saw him on the beach, I had a flashback to God, it had to be 15 years ago. I think it was a running back with the Patriots. His last name was Edwards. I want to say Troy Edwards now. It was so long ago. But he was a rookie and had a sensational rookie season. And then at the Pro Bowl, they had a beach. I don't know if it was 7-on-7, 3-on-3, something like that. And he broke his leg. And there was the blood vessel that supplies the blood to the lower part of the leg was cut off. And they thought they were going to have to amputate part of his leg.
Oh, God.
He never played football again. And so that's what I thought, guys, come on,
let's just be careful.
Let's make sure somebody's raking the sand and it's nice and, you know, that kind of thing.
That almost happened. That was with, I think that was the same thing that happened with Zach Miller from the Bears. Remember when he had his leg injury and they almost had to amputate his the lower part of his leg, but he ended up not having to do that.
Yeah. Makes you cringe.
It just goes to show, really, you know, and I know everyone talks about this, and one of the worst parts about, you know, the beginning of training camp for all these teams is, you know, there's all this excitement going into the season. You hear all about, you know, how these players have been preparing and how, you know, excited they all are. And then the injuries come.
Right.
And that's something that.
Well, look at the Giants wide receiver.
Yeah. Pool.
They've lost three guys now.
I mean.
Well, one to suspension, but two to
injury. Right.
But,
you know, even still, it just goes to show that, you know, so much of it has to do with just being healthy.
Right.
And being available, and, you know, that's something, too. I know Sammy Watkins, just bringing it back to the Chiefs, a player last season who, you know, was struggling back and forth with injury and just couldn't seem to get quite healthy enough. But I thought Sammy looked pretty good today. He had a one dropped pass that was pretty out of character for him. But aside from that, he made up for it. He redeemed himself.
Yep. It's Sammy Watkins. I thought it was interesting during the mini camp. And the OTAs, he was asked about the injuries. He's like, I worked so hard this offseason to get healthy. And I'm like, you know, it was a foot injury.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what, other than not getting hurt, I'm not sure how you prevented better shoes.
We're not doctors, Brad.
I don't know. It struck me as funny.
Yeah.
He said he was working hard. And I was like, it was a foot injury. I'm not sure what you're doing.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, we will take a quick timeout. We are broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Our camp coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig back in the studio. Alec Trost is here. And I got a caravan from 810 up here today. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life, and GM. It's a beautiful day in St. Joe. The players are done. The workouts are done. The last players who were signing autographs have now cleared the field. There were a couple of people who stayed for almost an hour.
Yeah.
My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Alec Trost is going to stay with us for this next segment, which we call Bolig Bites. Chris Bolig has the sound bites from the world of sports. They might be funny. They might be weird. They might be strange. I don't know. They're Chris's bites. So, Chris, take it away.
Brad, well, Brad and Allie, we have some juicy stuff from the world of sports in terms of some fun stuff to talk about. And a lot of NFL stuff. You know, we had a lot of NBA stuff in that free agency period, a lot of stuff going on there. But now with training camp starting and everything, we have a lot of NFL sound for this week. But we started off with Adrian Broner, and talking about the possible rematch of Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, and him what he thinks about that fight possibly happening.
They'll fight again, you know.
But if you're Floyd, do you take that risk, man? 50-0,
you
know.
Man, Floyd gonna beat his ass again, man.
Yeah. Is it the same outcome?
It might be worse.
Yeah?
Floyd gonna f*** him up again, and they both gonna retire.
Hey, there's been a lot of talk that maybe they do the fight in Manila.
I don't give a f*** where they do the fight at. Floyd gonna f*** Buddy up, man.
And there is Adrian Broner. There's a lot of to unpack there in terms of the usage of the language from Adrian Broner. He wasn't messing around. So, you know, pat on the back for myself for that, all that production work that went into getting those tones in, so we didn't hear the badness. And but he's pretty confident that Floyd, even though Manny Pacquiao took it to Keith Thurman.
By the way, Bullet Bite's coming in hot right out of the chute.
Yeah,
we
had to get it.
This is a family-friendly show.
We like to get a little irreverent on Sunday mornings, Ali. So we keep it real.
Here's the thing. I don't need to see Mayweather and Pacquiao again.
You're not paying for that?
Not paying for two 40-year-old dudes. Look, I'm a fan of 40-year-old dudes because I am one. I don't need to see him fight in that Pacquiao fight the other night. Stephen St. John said it was good, but even he said he doesn't need to see Pacquiao Mayweather again. By the way, Mayweather hasn't blanked anybody up in a long time. He doesn't hit anybody.
He's a defensive boxer.
He dances around the ring until you wear yourself out. He doesn't physically beat people. He wears you out. He's great at it.
There's a lot of ways to win.
Ali, are you interested in a Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao rematch? That was a big time fight. That was Kentucky Derby weekend, I believe, and I think it was 2015. I remember that fight. That was big time.
You know, I'm not believe it or not, I am really not the biggest
fight fan.
I'm just not. I've never been able to really get into it. I do love, for example, this audio right here. Like, I love like that kind of intensity and
sure.
Riling everyone
the
up.
The macho aspect of it.
Here's what I like. I like the intensity and just kind of like the, you know, the back and forth trash talk leading up to the fight, and then the fight itself.
Yes.
I'm like, I could literally care less. Yeah. I love all the drama that surrounds it, and then it's like, okay, it's fun.
I haven't bought a fight in a long time. I got burned a couple of times. I think there was a
I'm
Ricky
burned.
There was a Ricky Hatton fight that was built up. I think it was it with Oscar, and it was done in the first round. And I'm like, oh, there's $49.99. I'm never getting back. And so I was kind of like, I'm done. I'll just watch the replay, or I'll find a stream that may or may not be within the laws of...
Yeah, they sucker you in, and then you're like, wait a second.
No. Reddit, Brad.
There you go.
not trying to promote anything here, but Reddit,
nope.
Possibly. Here we go. Let's keep it moving, though. Let's get into some NFL training camp. We go to the Cleveland Browns, and we hear from one Baker Mayfield talking about his time in college. Here's what he had to say about one of the biggest lessons he learned.
What was the most important lesson you learned in college, preparing you for the pros?
Don't run from the cops.
Ooh, there we go. Baker Mayfield, that is hilarious. I love it. I love when people poke fun at themselves or for mistakes that they've had in the past. And that was pretty great.
Well, the video, he got body slammed, right, by the police officer?
Oh, yeah. He got absolutely just
got
messed
drilled.
Up.
And he got absolutely drilled. And look, Baker Mayfield is a lot. He's egotistical. He's arrogant, and I get it. He should be. He was a number one overall pick and makes a ton of money. That was solid. I like his hot takes. I like when he went on with, was it Colin Cowherd, and just trashed him to his face for like 10 minutes. I'm down with that.
First of all, great advice.
Yes,
really good advice.
Don't run from the cops.
I want to clip that and be like, hello, my younger brothers. Listen to the wise words of an NFL great. Take them to heart.
Yes.
But no, you know, like what you said, his personality is just, you know, I'm glad it's not a personality that the Chiefs have
yes.
in their system and on this team for a lot of reasons, but it's one that I thoroughly enjoy
yes.
watching.
He's a soundbite machine.
You know what? It'll be like, you know, what were the CD that came out, you know, the Real Men of Genius commercials
yes.
that Budweiser, or, you know, that
those were the
Bush
best, by the
were
way.
They not?
I missed those. They had one about that was like a spoof of Bill Callahan when he was the coach at Nebraska and how bad he was. And one of them was talking about him being eaten by Mangino. And it was quite funny when Mark Mangino was the coach at Kansas. If I miss those, I hope they come back because they were the best.
They were. And you know what? Someday there is going to be some sort of like digital playlist version of those CDs that we all
sure.
used to love. But of Baker Mayfield.
Well, the Geico's doing it now where they bring back all the characters that they've had in their ads over the years. And I think it's pretty well done. Whoever's
if it was great at one time, those people are still going to appreciate it.
Bring back, what's up?
What's up?
That was a Trost family Christmas card. I'm not kidding. There was before my youngest brother was born, it was me and my two younger brothers. And it was like, Allie says Merry Christmas. Danny says Happy New Year. Tommy had his tongue sticking out. It was like, Tommy says, what's up?
When I was, quick story, Chris, I apologize. When I was at Metro Sports, we carried Sporting KC, at that time the Wizards.
Uh-huh.
And Corey Smith, one of our producers, who was really funny and can make these really good commercials, he did one for the Wizards, but he had the players saying, what's up? And after about a week, we got a call from Anheuser-Busch saying, take that off the air.
Yeah, hi, you can't steal this.
Yes. All right, Chris.
All right, we keep pushing along here. We hear from Le'Veon Bell, and he is tired of social media and people putting parameters around athletes.
I'm tired of social media. I'm tired of everybody telling me I'm Le'Veon. You're not focused. You only want to make music. He want to play basketball. He do everything besides play football. And let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. You think Bron is waking up? Oh, he ain't having no Taco Tuesdays. Bron don't have Taco Tuesdays. Y'all think he's just whooping all day? Y'all think Beyonce waking up singing all day? She don't go to work. She don't act. She don't do nothing else taking her kids. Y'all think she's waking up singing. So y'all think it's legitimate for me to just, oh yeah, I ain't supposed to be in this airport on the escalator. I'm supposed to be running up the steps, huh? Working out. Getting up these damn steps, huh? That's crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
He's right, though, because you'll see, like, when the Royals were going through their World Series runs in 14 and 15, mm-hmm. you would see, I think they had an off day, I can't remember when it was during the season, but Eric Hosmer and a bunch of the guys went to, God, it might have been a Timberlake concert or something, I don't remember, or a Bieber concert, I think.
Yeah.
And so there's like five or six of them, and they're taking pictures, and they're getting mobbed by the fans. And of course, if any one of them goes 0-for-5 the next day, well, he should have been in the batting cage and not hanging out at the Bieber concert.
That I don't know why they weren't outside pitching to each other before the concert. Like, it really is funny, though. Like, and Le'Veon Bell brings up a good point. The expectation.
Yes.
On athletes, like, how funny would it be if Le'Veon Bell is at the airport and just sprinting up steps with his book bag or with his like suitcase? It's unrealistic to expect these athletes.
Yeah,
but
well,
I love
Allie. I think athletes should always be working out, eating, and just staying to their crafts. Just kidding.
Think,
I think they should. They can do whatever they want as long as they perform on the field. I don't care.
That's true.
Do you think Tom Cruise wakes up every morning and jumps out of a helicopter just for practice for his next? His next
there are a
mission,
lot of things that I
Mission
think
Mission Impossible movie.
There's a lot of things I think Tom Cruise probably does
that are weird
and
that
not
I don't
right.
Know also.
But yeah, so that's Le'Veon Bell talking about what his
Strong.
Stance. I liked it though. I liked it
I
from Le'Veon.
Good.
So we move on. Did you hear about the news of you probably saw it on social media? Josh Norman jumping over some bulls at the running of the bulls in Spain. So here's what Coach Jay Gruden had to say about that whole situation.
Well, I knew the bull wouldn't hit him. He avoids contact. No. Just kidding, Josh. Just kidding. No. Josh is a man of the world, man. He's experienced more things in his life that most at his young age that most people have in their whole life. So obviously we wouldn't recommend that for our players, and we want them to keep out of harm's way, but Josh is a unique man, a unique person. He's done a lot of great work other than jumping over bulls. He's done a lot of charitable work that people don't know about. Done great things for communities. So, I applaud Josh and his way he lives his life.
There he is. Wow. Shots fired at Josh Norman for being soft, I guess. But that's so funny because Jay Gruden just sounds exactly like his dad. It's quite hysterical.
That was an odd flex for Jay Gruden saying Josh Norman avoids contact like Marcus Peters used to. By the way, that was one of the longest and biggest backpedals I've ever heard after flexing on Josh. He's a man of the world.
He's probably a nice guy.
What? However, I will say, here we are talking about like Mahomes riding a horse in the water.
Or playing basketball. He got
playing basketball. I'll take that over some running of the Bulls.
He jumped over the bull. It was unbelievable.
If I ever saw like a Chiefs player, if Andy Reid ever saw a player on this team do that, I think he would fall over, especially if it's Mahomes.
Yes.
Anyways, yes, Jay Gruden trying to throw some shade at Josh Norman,
flex.
But not really. Yeah. Because
flex,
he said how awesome he actually is and how he lives his life and all the charitable work he does. So, Jay Gruden, there you go. We stick with the NFL, and we move to Terry Bradshaw. So, we heard it from Terry Bradshaw a few weeks ago, and he was taking shots at Texas quarterback Sam Ehlinger. So,
yep.
Here is what Terry Bradshaw had to say about Odell's comments in GQ magazine. You guys probably heard about that, how he was the reason why the Giants were still relevant, essentially, in getting primetime games. This is what Terry Bradshaw had to say about all of that.
Totally disagree.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Terry,
he ought to be happy he's in Cleveland making a nice dollar and they want him there.
Terry, why didn't you play for the Cleveland Browns?
I wasn't drafted by the Cleveland
Browns.
Oh, man.
Hey!
Can you sign up?
Yes, it would have been nice.
I love when at the end, a guy asked him why didn't you play for the Cleveland Browns? And he said, I wasn't drafted by them. He was only playing against a division rival in Pittsburgh. But yes, he thinks it's crazy and that Odell should be just happy where he's at. Brad and Allie, your thoughts?
First of all, these TMZ interviews are...
Oh, it's great.
Ridiculous.
I love it. Some of the funniest parts are the people that are actually interviewing the people because
well, they
they're
don't
so
know,
bad.
They don't know who... I guarantee that person doesn't know who Terry Bradshaw is.
No.
He probably got a page from his boss, or a page, God, 1987, hello. Probably got a text from his boss saying, hey, Terry Bradshaw is going to be at LAX. Why don't you go harass him? And, what do you think about Odell Beckham? Why didn't you play for Cleveland?
Odell's another one of those players, though. You know, that he's got the big personality, he's got a bit of an edge. And, you know, it goes back to, you just got to, if you hear a player say that, just rise above it.
Terry Bradshaw did sound a little intoxicated. I think he was leaving a restaurant, so that probably does not surprise me a little bit that he had some heated words after those Sam Ehlinger comments a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's also 70-something years old.
Yeah,
yes,
he doesn't care.
I'll be interested to see how the personalities of Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., and Jarvis Landry hold up this season. Because you already had Jarvis and Baker last year. Mm-hmm. Now you throw Odell into the mix.
Well, in Freddie Kitchens, first year as a full-time head coach.
Here you go.
So that's going to be interesting.
A perfect storm.
You like swimming to the deep end? Here you go.
throw him a floaty.
For our last bite of the day, we keep it with the NFL and the father of Jay Gruden, John Gruden. This was
his brother.
Or his brother, my bad. I don't know why I said father. Excuse me. Brad, it's been a day. It's been a day. But anyways, John, Jay's brother, excuse me, pardon my French, is talking, you know, they have Hard Knocks. You know, Hard Knocks.
Yep.
Are you guys getting pumped for Hard Knocks?
Absolutely.
I'm getting ecstatic. But this was a little portion of a trailer here from John Gruden and Hard Knocks with the Oakland Raiders.
Everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? I said it to the rookies, all right? Everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. Are you guys clear about this NFL now? We're not trying to go to the Peach Bowl. We're not trying to go to the Gator Bowl. Or the Blue Bonnet Bowl, we're trying to go to the Super Bowl, okay? And to do that, you got to really try to end somebody's dreams. Are you clear on that, Farrell? Okay? I mean that now. So get into that.
There he is, Chucky, getting after it. Chucky is really, really getting it in that trailer. We're not going to the Blue Bonnet Bowl. We're not going to the Gator Bowl. We're not going to the Peach Bowl. We're going to the Super Bowl, guys, okay?
By the way,
your worst nightmare.
are any of those bowls still named... Those bowls, the Blue
Bonnet
Bowl,
that
hasn't been the Blue Bonnet Bowl in like
forever.
20 years.
The Peach Bowl is still a thing, but the Gator Bowl, it's now the TaxSlayer.com Bowl, which is unfortunate because I love the Gator Bowl. That was a cool name.
Yeah.
Well, I like the Peach Bowl because I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan, and every once in a while when we weren't going to the Rose Bowl once every 10 years, which we did, we'd go to the Peach Bowl a lot. So I don't know if they still call it the Peach Bowl, though. I think
they do call it the Peach Bowl. There's still a Peach Bowl. It's in Atlanta.
That's an odd flex on his own team to say, I don't care about your dreams.
Well, I want to go back and, you know, the late night sitting at his desk thinking, like, how can I motivate these guys?
Yes.
And then, like, drawing some odd parallel between, like, they're not dreams, they're nightmares.
Of course.
And, like, just, like, how he got to that conclusion.
There's a little acting there, of course, too, in front of cameras,
right,
you know, for
right.
Hard Knocks. You got to give him a little something-something, especially after having to follow up the Cleveland Browns from last year with Hugh Jackson, Todd
Haley.
Which was
fantastic.
Greg
so
Williams,
good.
John Dorsey. That was awesome. I loved it.
Good.
My question, do you think that he wrote that himself or came up with that himself, or was that scripted?
I think he probably came up, but the emphatic nature of it, he just really presented it because he knew the cameras were on. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I'm ready to see that.
My favorite scene from the Browns Hard Knocks was the coaches sitting around the table and Todd Haley going, we're babying these guys. Why don't we get them off the get them on the field? And I want to do this. And Greg Williams is angry. And then the head coach, all of us, Hugh Jackman might have been there, but make sure we're still connected here. But then they're sitting around the table, and all of a sudden, Hugh Jackson sits down, and he's like, "Well, this is my team now. I sit in the big chair. I have the final say on everything." And you could see Todd Haley just smoke coming out of his ears. That was awesome. That was awesome. You knew it wasn't going to be long for that staff.
No.
That was great. But, there we go. Another edition of Bowling Bites in the books. A little training camp edition. A lot of stuff from the NFL. So, there it is. Hottest stuff in the week.
All right. Fantastic. By the way, speaking of training camp, we had a guy stop by, and I know I'm coming up on a break, Chris. We had a guy stop by today who looks a little bit like Andy Reid.
I saw your tweet.
Okay, yeah. I just tweeted that, and I took a picture in front of the 810 sign. So if you go to @BradKPorter, you can see the not Andy Reid.
And then earlier this week, there was a not Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, I've seen
Mitch
that
Holtz
person.
Has tweeted out, I believe. And he said he was like, if he plays it right, you can get a lot of free meals in Kansas City. And same thing for not Andy Reid.
Well,
a lot of burgers.
I think he's on the Missouri Western staff.
Even better.
He has a haircut just like Mahomes, and he looks like him. And you would think twice. If you saw him, you'd think, it might be. All right, Chris, I know I'm late here. We'll take our final time out. We'll come back and wrap up hour number 3, and then we'll pack up and hand it off to Stephen St. John for the rest of the week here in St. Joe. Training camp coverage here brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Alex Jost is here as well. And 85 members of the WHB team were up here today. So we'll come back and wrap things up right after this. Back for the final couple of minutes here of Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. Brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig's been running the show. Alex Jost has been nice enough to join us here for the last hour of the show. If you're coming up on Monday, that would be tomorrow. Practice starts at 8:15 a.m. The autograph groups after the game, they'll have the linebackers, but there's a ton of guys from all the groups that...
They've been just kind of sticking around and signing autographs.
And also 20% off youth apparel, but not the jerseys. So if you want a t-shirt or a jersey or whatever you call it.
Which I've seen some really great ones this
week.
Yes. Seen a lot of great Mahomes puns on these shirts. So you could walk out of here with a really nice, some game day wear.
Yes. Well, I got this red and gold 810 shirt on. Kind of looks like a Chiefs shirt. And then the Border Patrol... Steven and Nate and Jake, they got new ones this week.
Yep.
It says, I love 15.
Yeah.
And then there's a little heart BP on the side for Border Patrol. But I think they mean Brad Porter.
That's what I will be telling everyone from here on out.
That's what I'm telling
everybody.
That's what
it means. It's not Border Patrol. It's Brad Porter.
That's right. All right. So we got...
Ooh. It's tough. Looks like they got disconnected there for a sec. But we're ending the show right now. Some groovy vibes by a little Bob Marley. But, that does it for this weekend of... there you are.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
The power went out. We lost all of our power, Chris.
You're good.
I think somebody unplugged something. Somebody unplug something somewhere.
We're back.
It's okay.
All right, is that it, Chris? We out?
What are your finishing thoughts about these this weekend of training camp?
Okay, fun. It's packed out here, and I think the fans had a great time. Expectations are through the roof for what this season could be, and everybody wants in on the ground floor.
Yeah, and the energy is infectious. If this team does go to the Super Bowl and wins it all, you don't want to miss a second of this season, and that starts with training camp.
All right. That's going to do it for us. More coverage tomorrow. Stephen St. John is back. Border Patrol.
He never left.
It seems like he's never left. So catch the Border Patrol tomorrow at 6 a.m. Stephen St. John will have all the latest on day three. For Chris Bowling, Alec Trost, I'm Brad Porter. We'll see you next time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.